Greetings to all in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Last week, for those who could follow on different platforms, social media, and even those who were in person here at our church, at Claremont Baptist Church, we were blessed by the message that was entitled, Be Strong and Courageous. The message was brought forth by the man of God, Pastor Peter Cornelius. Now I say, to be strong and courageous, we need energy. Therefore, today's message, if we can give a title to it, will be, what is moving you, or what is behind your move? We are reading from two books, Numbers chapter 9, 15 to 23, and we also read in the book of Luke chapter 4, verse 1. Let's read. On the day the tabernacle, the tent of the testimony was set up, the cloud covered it. From evening till morning, the cloud above the tabernacle looked like fire. That is how it continued to be. The cloud covered it, and at night it looked like fire. Whenever the cloud lifted from above the tent, the Israelites set out. Wherever the cloud settled, the Israelites encamped. At the Lord's command, the Israelites set out, and at his command, they encamped. As long as the cloud stayed over the tabernacle, they remained in camp. When the cloud remained over the tabernacle a long time, the Israelites obeyed the Lord's order and did not set out. Sometimes the cloud was over the tabernacle only a few days. At the Lord's command, they would encamp, and then at his command, they would set out. Sometimes the cloud stayed only from evening till morning, and when it lifted in the morning, they set out. Whether by day or by night, whenever the cloud lifted, they set out. Whether the cloud stayed over the tabernacle for 2 days or a month or a year, the Israelites would remain in camp and not set out. But when it lifted, they would set out. At the Lord's command, they encamped, and at the Lord's command, they set out. They obeyed the Lord's order in accordance with his command through Moses. Now I'm reading from chapter 4, verse 1. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the desert. If I can go to 2, word, for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days. And at the end of them, he was hungry. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come again today before you, Lord, to hear your voice. To hear, Lord, and listen to the message that you have for us, Father God. As for me, Lord, I pray that use me as an instrument, as a tool in your hand, that your message from your heart will go straight to the heart of those, Lord, who need it. You know our lives. You know, O Lord, our thoughts. You know everything about us, Lord. That's why from time to time you come and speak to us. Now speak, O Lord, and we as your servant, we want to listen. We leave this time to the Holy Spirit to minister to each one of us in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. As I said, that the title is, what is moving you, or what is behind your move? Actually, when I said, for instance, that when the last message was brought forth by Pastor Peter, he said that, or the Lord said, that we must be strong and courageous. Then I said that to be strong and courageous, we need energy. There is no move without energy. There is no work without energy. When there is no energy, there is no life. There is no move. There is nothing that can be done. Therefore, I want to focus my message on a particular kind of energy. And this energy is the energy or the power of the Holy Spirit. I want to focus on the text that we read from Numbers chapter 9. And from that text, I want just to draw some principles that can help us on our journey with our Lord. Let me first give a kind of context. The Israelites were enslaved in Egypt for more than 400 years. Time came for God to deliver them from the hands of their oppressors and to bring them in the promised land. They have to go on a journey. The journey took many years. And the Bible says here that it was on the second or in the second year, the first month of that second year of their journey, God came and spoke to Moses that you must tell the Israelites to celebrate the Passover. We know what it means, the Passover to the Israelites. They were set free after having their Passover. Now God says, you must celebrate it. And God reminded them about all the instructions. Later on now the Bible says that when now the tabernacle was set up, was finished, now the cloud came to cover the tabernacle. The cloud came as a sign to confirm that what God said to Moses in Exodus chapter 25, he said, tell the Israelites to bring whatever they have and you will build me a sanctuary so that I can dwell in the midst of my people. So God confirmed it by a cloud that looked like fire at night. And when that was done, it means before this time you will see that the Israelites were just walking or they were just going according to their own plan or according to the plan of Moses somewhere. Because the goal was given already by God, they left Egypt, now they are on the journey. But only in the second year, God will come now and try to help them to really rely on God. One thing about the desert is this. The desert was a place God brought his people to teach them that they must depend on me. I am their provision. I am everything for them and to them. That's why God now came to Moses and the cloud came now and covered the tabernacle. When it covered the tabernacle now, it was now the instruction, God gave a kind of instructions that now time has come for you to go or to walk according to my own plan. You must walk as I want you to walk. The time I don't want you to walk, don't walk. The time I want you to go, you go. And the Israelites now could not depend on themselves. No matter how strong they were, no matter how energy they could have, no matter how they wanted to do, just to say we wanted to go, they had to depend on God. Even if the Israelites could be very strong enough to walk, but God didn't give the signal for them to go, they had to wait. Wait upon me. I know when you have to leave. I know when you have to stop and rest. Their move and their rest depended on God himself. They could wake up in the morning, just feel like they are very tired because they walked yesterday. But if the signal is given by God that you must go now, they had to obey and trust God for energy, that God will take them through the journey. So this is how it worked. And so they could now walk according to God's plan and the prescriptions given to Moses. And this was seen by everybody, because everybody could see the cloud lifted up or coming down. They could know that, oh, this time now we are going to rest, or this time we are going now to start off. But they had to wait upon the command of the man of God, Moses. Now, having said that, I want just to draw four principles that can help us as we journey with the Lord. First thing, I say, first principle, every move is made possible by energy. There is no move where there is no energy. So the Israelites, to move, they needed to have energy in them. But this time, I want to focus on this spiritual energy, that is the Holy Spirit. The energy that comes from God. There's one thing I wanted to mention here. When we speak about God, we speak about Jesus, we speak about the Holy Spirit, the Word of God is the same thing. The Word of God is God. The Holy Spirit is God. Jesus is God. Now, they had to do things by God's energy, as I said, and we cannot move without any energy. Whatever we do in life is motivated or is made possible by a kind of energy. Even if someone can give you something, behind that giving, there is some kind of energy. It can be just maybe to say, I love you, or to say that later on I will come back to you so that you can give back to me. Or there is always a reason. That reason is what I call energy. Because we will see it even in some scriptures, that let me take like someone like Peter. Peter, Jesus wanted to go to Jerusalem, and Peter came and said, Lord, no, don't go there. And what did Jesus say? Behind me, Satan. It means that energy that has motivated you to speak is not from God. That is an energy from the devil. So he said, behind me, Satan. You can read another story about this. In the book of Luke chapter 9, start from 54, you find that there was a time Jesus wanted again to go to Jerusalem, and he wanted to go through Samaria. And he sent some people to tell the people that he wants to pass by. But the people of Samaria didn't want to allow Jesus to pass through Samaria. So, hearing that, two disciples, James and John, told Jesus that, Lord, let us call upon fire so that it can consume them. And Jesus turned to them. The Bible says, he rebuked them. And he told them that you don't know what kind of spirit you are of. So there is a spirit that is telling you, that is pushing you to say what you are saying. There's always a spirit that is pushing someone to do what he or she is doing. So behind any move, there's a spirit. There's a spirit. That's number one. Number two, a wrong energy produces a wrong move. Any wrong energy that is not of God, the move that will result of that energy will not be good. It can be disastrous or dangerous. I take the example of Ananias and Sapphira. In the book of Acts, they were tempted by, or they were empowered by another energy that is not of God. That's not the Holy Spirit. That Peter will tell Ananias that, why did you want to tempt the Holy Spirit? Because this was not the energy of the Holy Spirit. Their giving was not motivated by the Holy Spirit. And the end result was their death. They both died. So any wrong energy will produce a wrong move. Three, a good move done from a wrong energy is also dangerous. You can choose to do something good. You can like to do something good, but if what motivates you is not right, then the result will be not good. I will take the example of Uriah. In the Old Testament, there came a time when David and his people went to bring back the Ark of God, the Ark of Covenant. And as it was coming, the Bible says that it was almost going to fall down. And this Uriah came to sustain or to support or to help it not to fall down. A very good move. But the energy was bad because this man was not supposed to do the work that he did that time. So the energy was not of God. What happened? He was taken by God. He died on the spot. And even David was very afraid of the Ark of God, to the point that he didn't want it to go to his place. Why? Because this good move was motivated, was made possible by a bad energy, and it produced death. And four, the right energy produces a good move, and this is independent of circumstances, situations, or means. Any good, or I call it not any, I want to call it the right energy, because this is the Holy Spirit. It is divine. It's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will always produce a good move. Any move we take and make through the Holy Spirit will always be a good move. We can see Abraham leaving everything, leaving his country, his people, he leaving whatever he had there in the country, acquaintances, but he obeyed God. He trusted God, and that energy that moved him was good, and wherever he went, he was successful. Because that was a good energy. Remember the Shulamite woman. When Elijah came to her and said, "Cook first for me, then you will eat with your son." She obeyed that energy, that this is a good energy. The motivation comes from a good energy. And when he did that, the Bible says that she was satisfied. She could have food to eat for a long time, for a long period of time. Why? Because she was motivated by a good energy. Here I want just us to read especially for what happened to Mary. When we read in the book of Luke, chapter 1, verse, let me read, 34. "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel came to Mary and told Mary that you are highly favored by God, and God has chosen you to be the mother of the Savior. But because now Mary looked at herself, her condition, her circumstance, her own situation, her own realities, and she said, "That's impossible. This is a wrong number. This is a wrong person. I'm not married. I'm still virgin. What you are telling me is impossible. It's something that cannot be done." This is what always happens in our lives. How many times we consider our situation to accept the will of God in our lives? She considered herself to say, no, I'm not worthy of this. It is impossible. It cannot be done. But the angel said, the angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One will be born," and so forth. So the angel now explained to Mary, it's not about you. It's about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will overshadow you. The Holy Spirit will cover you. Then the power of the Holy Spirit is that which will create something in your womb. Just obey, trust and obey. You will see the result. And you see, even to confirm to Mary, the angel will go far to say, you know what? Even your cousin Elizabeth, who in her own age, now she has conceived. Now she's 6 months of conception. That to say, to tell Mary that, see, Mary, you are a virgin. You say it is impossible. But look at your cousin. She is already with the pregnancy. So don't think that it's impossible because it is done to your family member. Someone you know, someone you can go and verify, it can be done also to you. And later on, Mary will say, let it be done. I'm just a servant of the Most High God. She allowed the Holy Spirit to take the lead. She allowed the Holy Spirit to make the move. And she was moving in the right direction because she was moved by the Holy Spirit. That is one thing I wanted to say for number four. So I said that every move is made possible by energy, by the any spirit, because we are speaking about spiritual things. I said it can be by Satan or by the Spirit of God that we call the Holy Spirit, God Himself. And any wrong move is a result of a wrong energy, or a wrong energy will produce a wrong move. And any good move that is done with a wrong energy, it is dangerous, it's not good. We must obey God. As we said, even when we're looking at the Israelites, they could not move until God said, move. They could not rest until God said, rest. That's how it must work in our lives. This church, our church, the church of Jesus, must move in the right direction by obeying and trusting God, looking at God. God must give the signal for us to do and not to do whatever we have to achieve in this world. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we need, or one thing I wanted to say before I go further, is that the move is made by the Holy Spirit, the good move made by the Holy Spirit. And as we go into ministry, or as we minister, the energy is released. We release our energy through the ministry. And we get recharged. You know, even a phone, when it is low bat, what we do, we must recharge it. Otherwise, it is useless. So we must be recharged. And we get recharged through prayer and meditation of the Word of God. I can even go further to say, prayer is the resting place for active Christians. We rest in prayer. We can see it even about Jesus. Jesus will minister during the day, and at night he will be there on the mountain praying. But what are we doing today as a church? Sometimes I fear, because what we can make good moves, even in the church. But if it's not empowered by the Holy Spirit, especially through prayer and meditation of the Word of God, it can be dangerous. We need the church to pray, to get energy, to do the work. And when we are saying about ministry, it's not about ministry only in the church. Ministry at work, ministry in our daily life. We always minister somewhere there. So we need the energy of the Holy Spirit. So Christians, we must make sure that we pray and meditate upon the Word of God so that we can get much energy to do the work that is assigned to us. Then, we are praying. We are asking God to have people young people who are spiritually young, energetic people who can pray to change the situation, to change the world. It takes such people who can stand before God and say, I will not give sleep to my eyes until I see. People who can stand and say, I will not eat or drink until I see. People can stand before God and say, I will not let you go until you change the situation of criminality in South Africa, in our neighborhood, in whatever place. We need such people. Energetic people. People who are filled by the Holy Spirit. People who stand, declare the word of God. People who stand and go pray so that things can change. You know, I was reading a book, and that book about revival. In that book, they say that the city of New York was transformed, or there was a reduction of criminality because of the work of Christians and the prayer of Christians. They took it seriously. They prayed to God and things changed. Even today, brothers and sisters, we can do the same. The same God, the same Holy Spirit is at work. We can see revival in our time. We can see revival in our city. We can see revival in our neighborhood. We can see revival in our church. God says that if my people are called by my name, so humble themselves and pray. So God is waiting for us to pray. And pray is where we must rest. Even when we say physically we are tired, but spiritually we rest in prayer. So prayer is very, very important. My prayer and my heart's desire for the church today, even our church, I always pray, I say, God, we want to be disconnected from self so that we can be connected to you by the Holy Spirit. To the point that as we come for service, we become disconnected to selves. That we focus on God. Time will never be a problem. Because we know that we are in the presence of God. God will make it possible. The Holy Spirit will enable us that we may forget about ourselves, the time. I was reading the same book. The same book said that during the revival, there was somewhere there, I cannot remember the place. As they fellowshiped on Sunday, the pastor was already gone. Most of the leaders were already gone. But few people remain in the church. They started now just talking and repenting because of the message. As they were praying for each other and repenting, what happened? The Holy Spirit came upon them. And it became another service. And they say, or that book says, that that movement went from that day, Sunday, up to Monday. Even some students didn't go to school. Why? Because they were outpouring of the Holy Spirit. It disconnected them from selves and connected them to God. They forgot about themselves. It's my prayer that there will come a time as we are singing, we are fellowshipping, we are preaching. No one will say it's too late. No one will say it has been very long. The sermon is long. This song, you cannot sing it this way. We forget about ourselves and we get in the plan of God. Because God must determine when to stop and when to start, as we read it in the book of Numbers. We are the people of God. We are the light of the world. We can help the world to move in the right direction. But my brothers and sisters, we must pray. As we pray, we release the energy. At the same time, as we go, we pray again, we are recharged. The Holy Spirit will empower us again so that we can do the work again because we need Him. So, brothers and sisters, this was just a message I had for us. That what makes us move, whatever we do in life, Even in the church, what is behind it? Is it to be famous? Is it to make a name? Is it to attract attention? Is it? But if we have the Spirit of God, no matter the problem, no matter the situation, God will help us. You know, there is a song that says, if you say stay, we will stay. If you say go, we will go. If you say walk on the water, and people say that it can't be done, but I will look at you and will come. The problem is ourselves, because we focus on us. Like Mary, I'm virgin. That is impossible. Gideon was called by God to do the ministry. He was assigned. Same. My family is the smallest. The poorest. This is not for me. But if the command is from God, brother and sister, take it. Go. Don't stop. Don't let yourself be stopped by anything, by any fear, by your situation, your circumstances, your means, your capabilities, your possibilities, your abilities. You must trust God. As another song says, trust and obey. There is no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. So the message is this. As we move, as we live in this world, we must have our eyes focused on God. Whatever God says do, let us do it. Wherever God sends us, let us go. Never look at what we have and what we are. Like someone said yesterday, I was listening to a radio, he said, it's not about who we are, it's about whose we are. Not who you are. You will not make it. I will not make it. In life, we must come to that point where you see it's impossible. There's nothing you can do. There is nowhere you can go. But you say, God, I trust you. I trust your word. I trust that you are there. You are more than capable. You are there. You can help me. You can assist me. You will take me through. And you will see the end result of it. It will glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. No matter what, brothers and sisters, God invites us to be energized by the Holy Spirit. He's there, he's available. He has been given to the church to empower the church. That's why Jesus, when you read in the book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 8, he said, don't rush. Wait until the Holy Spirit will come upon you. Then you will be my witnesses. Now that the Holy Spirit has already come, now that the Holy Spirit lives already in us, now that the Holy Spirit is at work in the world, so brothers and sisters, we must make a step together with the Holy Spirit. I'm calling people to be people who pray. We need prayer. Otherwise, we'll make wrong moves. It will be dangerous. We can have a lot of people in the church. But what does God say about the people who are in the church? The problem is, we can be few or many, but the problem is, what is moving us? What is moving our church, our local church? What is moving us? Not our own ideas. Not the means we have, not whatever we have, but it's about what Jesus has put on our disposal, and that is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will help us. He will assist us. As Mary, I repeat it again. Mary said it was impossible for her. The angel said, it's not your business. Leave it to the Holy Spirit. Leave it to him, you will see. I personally have experienced this many times. Even this year, it was not easy. I had to trust God. I didn't know how, but at the end of the day, God came through. And as I'm saying, he settled the matter. My Father, our Father, he's faithful. Let us trust him. So as we said, when he says go, let us go. When he says jump, let us jump. When he says sleep, let us sleep. When he says it's time to give, let us give. Even if God asks you to give whatever you have, all you have, he knows why. Just give. Don't hesitate. Don't wait a second. Give. But let the move come from the Holy Spirit, not from yourself or from people. Never do anything under pressure. I always say it. Never do anything under pressure. Let God himself minister to you. Let God himself convince you. Let God himself help you. And it will be easy with you. So that was our message for this day. We thank God and we believe that as the church, we are called to make a difference in this world. How can we make a difference? The answer is very simple. Let us be led by the Holy Spirit. Nothing else. Not school, not studies, not politics, economy, nothing. But the Holy Spirit will help us to make things right the way God wants us to do them. So let us pray. Father, thank you for giving us another opportunity just to speak about what the Holy Spirit can do in our lives. We are empty. We are nothing. We cannot do anything, Lord Almighty, without him. We can try. We can see that it is successful or we have done it. But what do you say, Almighty Father? That's what matters. I pray that, Lord, from today, as we have listened, Lord, to your message, to your word, you will help us, Lord, to be obedient and to trust you. Because if we don't trust you and we are not obedient, it will be difficult for us. Because we look out at our circumstances, we look at our means, our possibilities, and what we have, and decide to do or not to do. But Father, I pray, but by the power of the Holy Spirit, every one of us, we will be able to say, here I am. I'm your servant. Let it be done as you want it, Lord. So we thank you. We praise you and worship you because you always speak to us. You are a loving Father. In the name of Jesus. Amen.